computer's working now.
Did you just mock me?
Yeah.
Away we go on a Monday, Free Agency Monday, here on Mr. Relevant, a special extended edition of Mr. Relevant on this Free Agency Monday. We will talk about the action in the NFL, the inaction in Green Bay, and all the moves that happened on a hectic Sunday. DK Metcalf is a Pittsburgh Steeler. Devontae Adams is a Los Angeles Ram, amongst a few other things that went down. Myles Garrett signing an extension with the Cleveland Browns yesterday. Plenty of chaos to get into over the course of the next hour and a half or so. I'm Alex Roof with you from the Gruber Law Offices, one call that's all studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. As you heard, Joshy DiMaggio, unfortunately, is also here. Good afternoon, Joshy.
I'm happy Jason's going to be joining us because I've had about enough of your manic Free Agency Monday energy today.
Well, you did deal with me from 7 to 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, so I understand that. Jason Wilde joins us now. He's the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, the co-host of Wilde and Tausch. You read his work at channel3000.com, including a really interesting piece last night following the Devontae Adams move to the Los Angeles Rams. Jason reporting that the Packers' contact with Devontae Adams was, quote, none. End quote. We welcome in Jason Wilde now. Jason, good afternoon. Quite a report from you last night, Mr. Newsbreaker.
No, definitely not a newsbreaker. But hey, what can I say? It's just another manic free agent Monday for you. You're not surprised, are you, that nothing's happened on the Packers front this morning?
It's not that I'm surprised. It's just that I thought they would definitely be in the mix on Devontae Adams. I think that's why I'm surprised that there was zero, not even a, hey, how you doing, text between the Packers and Devontae Adams. So I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, I think Devontae was surprised by that too, I'm guessing. So, again, and I kept saying this, and I think my job is to be the conduit to the fans. My job is to bring insight and information. And my job is to entertain. And one of the things that I didn't like about the Devontae Adams storyline was that it made sense to me, it made sense to Tausch, it made sense to you, it made sense to Brian Bulaga, it made sense to Josh DiMaggio. But I kept saying this, and because he didn't respond to the text that you bullied me into sending, and maybe that was an answer, but I just never knew if Goody was interested in bringing back Devontae Adams. And he clearly wasn't. Otherwise, Devontae Adams would have heard from him. Now, how interested was Matt LaFleur? I don't know. I don't know if he was interested either. But the fact of the matter is they never pursued him. Now, the DK Metcalf piece, I talked to two people that said they never made an offer. They never were in on that. It was too rich for their blood. So I don't know what that means for what was reported, not just by Corbin Burnson-Smith out there in Seattle, because I don't like crapping on other people's work. And by the way, Diana Rossini was among the people who reported that the Packers had interest in DK Metcalf. So, you know, and I said this in our YouTube comments for ESPN Madison or Milwaukee, not sure which. But I said, look, I will acknowledge that the people I talked to, you know, might have a ulterior motive of saying, no, we weren't in on DK Metcalf because they don't want the guys that are still there to think that they actually tried to get DK Metcalf and tried to get a number one instead of letting one of them develop into that. You're only as good as your sources. Now, the two people that I corresponded with yesterday, I don't think they would lie to me. So I would hope they wouldn't lie to me. Goody was not one of them, for the record. I still have not texted back and forth with him. But the fact of the matter is that they did not, according to these two different people, they did not pursue DK Metcalf, which, again, if I'm a Packers fan today, I'm okay with that. I really am. $150 million.
Yep.
Right? So that I'm okay with. The Devontae one I don't get. That's just pure and simple. I don't get it.
It makes no sense to me, right? At the very least, check in on it, right? If he wanted to go to the West Coast, if he wanted the money he ultimately got, which I thought was probably in the wheelhouse, he was the going rate for him, so be it. But to not check in at all was just strange to me. And now, obviously, some of these dominoes beginning to fall in NFL free agency. Chris Godwin was a name we've talked about briefly. He is going back to Tampa Bay on a new deal, 3-year deal for him. So he is out of the picture now as well for the Green Bay Packers. The interesting nugget that has come out in the last hour or so, Jason, is from our buddy Rob Domofsky, who reports, at least for now, the Packers are hanging on to Jaire Alexander. The question I pose to you is, could this be a long-term thing, or do you think this is just a sit-and-wait type thing as they hope to deal Jaire Alexander in some sort of trade at some point?
Yeah, you know, I'm never going to trash Rob Domofsky. He's a good friend of mine, and I love the guy. I'm sure he's under pressure to share.
Is there a bud coming?
I'm sure he's under pressure to have something to add to that tracker that they have. Yeah, Jaire Alexander is still on the team. They haven't traded him, and they haven't released him. Yeah, okay. You know, the quote that he had in there from a source was that he hasn't moved him yet. Okay? The question I have is there any chance they don't move him at all? You know, I talked to somebody who works in the building yesterday who said, look, the guy can still play. He is a very good player, and I said, when he plays. And he said, no doubt, when he plays, you're right. I would also say that what Matt LaFleur and Jeff Hafley ask their corners to do, I don't know if Jaire can do that anymore. Because those guys have to be physical. They have to be able to crack and replace. You always hear Jeff Hafley talk about that. They have to be able to hit. And I think everyone, from Matt LaFleur to Brian Gutekunst to Jaire Alexander himself, would acknowledge that he was a fearless, physical tackler, despite being whatever he is, 5'10 or 5'9. He was not afraid to stick his face in there when he was a young player. And then in 2021, he tried to tackle Najee Harris, and he jacked up his shoulder, and he's never been willing to tackle that way again. And I, for the record, I don't blame him, right? That was a major injury. I would be afraid of throwing my shoulder in there too. And there are places where you can play corner and not have to worry about being a aggressive tackler. In this system, with the zone scheme that they run and having to close on the ball carrier, you need to come up on the guy and you need to hit him. And so, you know, and he's missed 10 games each of the last 2 years. I don't see why they would bring him back when they have dealt with what they've dealt with the last 2 years, even if they're desperate at the position. The team that he belongs on is the team that has not had experience with him, that needs a corner, that is willing to take a financial risk when he gets released, not give up draft pick compensation for him, because you don't know how available he's going to be. But you take the risk and you say, oh, all right, if this guy stays healthy for us and we pay him, you know, more than he probably should get after the time he's missed, but we're willing to take the risk on him, and it works out for you, you get an all-pro player for a less than all-pro dollars. So we'll see if that happens with another team and when Goody releases him.
It sounds like more than an if, though, right? Like this is still the route I imagine they're going to go. There's no shot he's on the team in 2025, right?
I am not. I don't know who you think you're talking to.
I was going to say, what the hell was that?
I'm not Homer.
What do you mean?
You gave him absolute.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the least absolute guy you know. There's no way he's on the team in 2025.
Cut it right there. He said it.
Yeah, you know, creative editing.
Do you still think it's unlikely?
Yes. I think it's 95% that he's not on the team, or 90% or whatever high? Is it more than 50-50 that he's somewhere else? I think so. Again, that's my opinion. Now, I try to be transparent in this job. And if you've been listening to me for weeks on end, whether it's with Joshy and the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy crew, or with Strofe on the occasional Wildy now that it's become, or if it's on KBN or Jim, Matt, and Molly or Homer or whatever, I'm always hedging on this stuff because I don't know for certain what Goody wants to do. And the Devontae thing really does bother me because we spent a lot of time talking about something that in the end, all that really mattered is that the general manager didn't want him. Period. Paragraph. Fin. So even though we all thought it made sense, Goody, and by the way, I think we need to remember that 32 is not that old. It's just old to Goody.
Yeah.
Because as I keep bringing up, the Green Bay Packers' biggest free agent signing ever was 31 years old when they signed him. His name was Reggie White, and he was a transformative player. So 32 is not old. There's plenty of guys. Clearly the Rams don't think it's old. They gave him $26 million guaranteed. So, again, and he's been durable. You know, they moved on from Cooper Kupp, who I'm pretty sure is younger than Devontae Adams. So, I just want Packers fans to remember that while a guy might be old in Goody land, that doesn't mean he's old to the rest of the NFL.
And old is different player to player as well. Obviously, Cooper Kupp would seem much older than a Devontae Adams at this point based on injury history and simply speed and production.
Great point.
I do have a question regarding Goody mentioned, and the word we've used 1,000 times, is he the urgency. Homer keeps saying he thinks that urgency is the guys on the team, and I'm starting to believe him. Are you in that same camp? There's obviously a ton of time left in free agency. It's just started. But from what we've seen and not even really kicking the tires on any of these other guys who've become available and moved teams, it seems like they're not really that urgent in terms of adding players from the outside.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Joshy. And here's why. You know, and Tausch and I obviously have occasional differences of opinion. I think I probably get criticized for being too critical of Goody, because I'm just more critical than most. And I don't think I'm that critical of him. Like, I do believe that it is a young man's game. And I do believe that it's smart not to rely on old players. I say it, you guys have heard me joke about it all the time. If I was the GM, Bulaga would still be at right tackle. Hell, Tausch might be still at right tackle. Jordy would still be running pass patterns, right? I believe in the quality of been there, done that veteran players. At the same time, that is the wrong approach, and having rookie contracts. But my argument, and I made this in one of my stories at Channel 3000 this week, is that if you are going to proclaim that we need to ramp up our urgency, that does apply to you too. And maybe you need to step out of your comfort zone, and maybe just, I'm not saying you need a team full of 30-somethings. But I do think it's a fair critique for me to make as a beat writer to say, maybe you need to step out of your comfort zone and add one or two 30-somethings. Maybe Devontae Adams really did make sense. But if you're going to say age ain't nothing but a number when they're inexperienced, you can also go to the other end and say, well, age ain't nothing but a number when you're not 36, 37 years old. Like Tausch wants Kevin Zeitler on the team. I love that idea, right? But he just turned 35 on Saturday. Like, I have a heart, and if Goody does it, great, because that means he's doing something that he saw what happened in the Philly game, that two guys with a combined 36 snaps of NFL experience both stunk when you lost your Pro Bowl guard, and you lost the game. Now, if you had a guy, Kevin Zeitler started 16 games last year for the Lions at age 34.
Right.
If you had a veteran guy who could go in there and just battle to a draw against a great defensive line. Don't get me wrong. That was a big ask of both Travis Glover and Telly Monster, Kadeem Telford. I love Sesame Street. But they were not up to the task. They had no chance. And as a result, Jordan Love had no chance. So if he were to sign a veteran offensive lineman to be the security blanket, to be the Bruce Wilkerson of 1996, that would indicate to me that he's doing something he doesn't normally do because he wants to make sure that he gives his team that has to ramp up its urgency a better chance to win in December and January.
I want to pull in producer Tiny Hands Hunter Vaughn for a moment. Hunter, we said Friday.
Producer Tiny Hands.
Hey, he has small hands. I don't know if you knew that about him.
I've heard you call him that before. So, that's not very nice.
Sorry, I'm fine with it. I own it.
There we go. Healthy bullying.
Nicer guy.
Just
than
like
me.
I did with you and Goody. Hunter, Joshy said on Friday he does not want to end the BBD campaign until it is truly dead. Unfortunately, today it is truly dead, and I noticed in the top right corner of our video stream we still have the BBD logo. Is it time to retire that, or can you not do that while we're live?
I mean, I can. It'll be a little bit of a process. I just wanted to keep it for one more day. Like, I did kind of put a lot of work in on a Saturday to make that logo. So I'm like, I want as much.
Thank you for your service.
You're welcome, Jason. I just wanted to give it as much run as I possibly could. So I was like, one more day of remembrance for the grassroots movement that lasted a week and a half.
Yeah, the grassroots movement, indeed. It was a well-lived period of time, but now that is in the books. Bill Huber reporting this morning, Jason Wilde, that Josh Myers will not be re-signed in Green Bay, meaning I assume they won't even be giving him an offer. I know we're not surprised by this, but kind of interesting that they're not even going to let him wait and see what the market is and leave the door open for a possible return. What were your thoughts when you saw this report from your buddy Bill Huber?
Yeah, not surprised at all. You know, again, this is an organization that in 2016, with six games left in the season, told Micah Hyde, "We're not re-signing you." Which I never understood. And I don't know if that was Russ Ball who told him that. I find it hard to believe that Ted would have done that. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, they don't have any interest in bringing him back. And if that's... Look, Josh Myers is not Larry McCarron. He is not Corey Linsley. He's not Scott Wells. He hasn't played to that level. But I still think, despite his Pro Football Focus grade, he's a good center. Not a great center, not an elite center. But don't underestimate the value of a guy who is capable and consistent and plays through injury and that the quarterback has trust with, right? Like, we always talk about wide receivers and tight ends having the quarterback's trust. I will say this. Jordan Love really liked working with Josh Myers. Those two were tight. They had a lot of faith in each other. They trusted each other a lot. Josh Myers took a lot of things off Jordan's plate his first 2 years in terms of protection calls to make it easier for him to just play the position. So whatever they end up doing there, if they move, you know, this is a fairly easy adjustment if it's just him, right? They move Elton Jenkins to center, and they make Jordan Morgan a starter at one of the guard spots, and then you're from left to right. Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan, Elton Jenkins at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and Zach Tom at right tackle. That, theoretically, it's a one-piece move. You move one guy over and you insert another guy. The issue is, very rarely does an offensive line stay healthy all five guys, all 17 games. And that's why it's still a position of need.
Has to be, and I mean, we've talked about this at length.
And let me just add this, not to interrupt, but let me just add this. Jacob Monk can come in and be an effective center. They don't have to move Elton Jenkins. I shouldn't be dismissive of that possibility.
Yeah, that was a guy they kind of redshirted last year, right, Jason? Like, they didn't give him a ton of opportunity, but they
zero.
Liked some of the
he
stuff
played
he was showing.
Zero offensive snaps, none.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was zero.
Not a ton of opportunity.
But, we've kind of reached a standstill in free agency since this program has began. Maybe all the NFL GMs and agents are watching us. But the only piece of news we have is one of Goody's first draft picks, the punter J.K. Scott, has re-signed in Los Angeles with the Chargers. He is staying put. Jason, got to ask about your boy. Joshy was pretty fired up to read the Aaron Rodgers rumors this morning that he could be headed to Pittsburgh. Now on the table for quarterback Aaron Rodgers. That would be an interesting fit as DK Metcalf gets traded there last night. What do you make of Aaron Rodgers' options? I know you're still rooting for the storyline of Rodgers to Minnesota, which is certainly still on the table, but it seems like Pittsburgh might be the better fit for Rodgers.
Yeah, I want him to maybe go to Seattle, too, now that they have a quarterback need, but I'm assuming Sam Darnold is the play there for them. We'll see if that comes together today. By the way, a couple of other free agent things since the show started. And I didn't expect the Packers to pursue this guy, but Carlton Davis goes from the Lions to the Patriots, 3 years, $60 million, according to Adam Schefter. And then this was a guy that was kind of a sneaky corner that you didn't hear a lot about. Paulson Adebo, who had been with the Saints, goes to the Giants.
We have one more corner news just coming through, and it is in-division corner news. The Lions are signing the top corner available. DJ Reed is headed to Detroit on a three-year, $48 million deal. So as we sit here, Jason, I see your jaw drop a little bit. Everybody in the division's getting better today, and the Packers have yet to make a move. Obviously, the Chicago Bears have completely reinvented their interior offensive line, trading for two guards last week, signing the top center available today. The Lions signing the top corner available, and obviously some conversations going on in Minnesota. We've only heard crickets out of Green Bay, so certainly an interesting and big move for the Detroit Lions bringing in DJ Reed.
Yeah, and look, they're replacing a guy who's a look. Carlton Davis is a pretty good player. Like, losing him is not great for, like, he was their best corner when he was healthy. I mean, I think he got hurt late in the playoffs, if I remember correctly. But the fact of the matter is that you don't get trophies for March 10th, or is that what today is, the 10th? You don't. All these teams are making headlines. And poor Rob Domofsky is having to post that the Packers have not released Jair Alexander yet. I mean, that's the news from here. Back to you in the studio. But the reality is that Goody has his process. And I think, you know, shame on me for thinking that he would change that process. To me, that's the reality. So, you know, look, last year it was really exciting. Really exciting with Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. I don't think we can expect that to be the case every year.
I would already say that's probably not going to be the case. We have another corner signing in the NFC North coming out just moments ago from Adam Schefter of ESPN. Former Eagles corner Isaiah Rogers is headed to Minnesota on a two-year, $15 million deal. So that means the Vikings have struck, the Lions have struck, and the Bears have struck today in the first hour and a half of free agency. And the Lions and Vikings both getting a position of need for the Green Bay Packers at cornerback. Woof.
Yeah, but have they figured out how to keep Byron Murphy in Minnesota yet?
Not yet. That has not been reported yet. He is still on the table.
Yeah. And they, you know, they kept Aaron Jones, who I think that's a good thing for them. But the fact of the matter is that you're right. There have been maneuvering today from three of the four teams in a division in which the Packers went 1-5 against their opponents in the division.
Right. Yeah, this is tough because, and I said this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Truey prior to the opening of free agency, but the thing I am worried about is the Packers being left behind. For two seasons in a row now, they have been the seventh seed in the NFC. Over the course of the last couple of days, you've seen a team that was in the NFC championship game in the Commanders trade for receiver help. You've seen the Rams, who were a playoff team, add Devontae Adams, bring back Matthew Stafford, kind of change up a few things on the offensive side of the football. Now, since free agency is open, as I mentioned, the Bears reinventing that offensive line, the Lions getting corner help, the Vikings getting corner help. I just worry the Packers are getting left behind the pack if they don't make some sort of moves. They're still a good team and they're still in good standing. I don't want that to get lost in the message, but seeing these other teams actively trying to improve the positions of need, it's a tough one for me. Again, that's not to say they're going to be a six-win team. I still think there's a playoff team if they run it back with what they have on the roster right now, but it doesn't feel like they are making moves to elevate to a championship team, at least as of now.
Yeah, and let me save you the trouble of asking me this on behalf of Michael Coonan, who tweets to us, ask Wildy when the Green Bay beat is going to hold Goody accountable for the decisions he does and doesn't make. Look, I know that we would like to see the press conferences be shouting matches or me, you know, pounding on the table. You know, like you see in the movies, right? When there's all these media shouting questions at once. Look, I'm the one who asked the question at the end of his end-of-season press conference. You know, Goody, we've talked a lot about potential and the talent you have and how much growth there was, but the reality is you guys lost your last three games. So what were you disappointed about this season? What concerns you? And that was what led to the answer of, we need to ramp up our urgency, and this team needs to compete for championships. So, Michael, mm-hmm. with all due respect, don't come at me saying we don't hold him accountable. Now, just because he thinks one thing and I think another thing doesn't mean he's wrong and I'm right, or that he's right and I'm wrong. I believe Davante Adams made sense for this team. Not because I like him, not because he's my friend, not for any of that reason, but because DK Metcalf didn't make sense. Paying him $150 million, giving up a draft pick, installing him as your number one receiver. You want to lose Romeo Doubs? Romeo Doubs stayed home from work when he wasn't getting the ball thrown to him for a couple weeks, including while the backup was playing. You really want to lose him. And again, I'm not saying that that was okay for him to do. But go sign and trade for DK Metcalf. See what that does to the room. Whereas Davante, I believe, would have been the mentor, would have been the number one, and then ready to not be the number one, like Jordy was ready to not be the number one when it became very clear that Davante was the number one. Goody didn't right. see it that way. And he will get questions. I'm going to ask him, is 32 years old too old to be on your team? They have one 30-year-old player on their team, and he's the kicker.
Yep.
Maybe they bring back Eric Wilson at the ripe old age of 30. But after last season, I was the one who asked Goody that if their success in the playoffs showed him that it really is a young man's game. And he said, all that did was solidify what I already believed. And then you remember this, Strofe. He went into that answer about how you got to live through the growing pains early and you may lose some games mm-hmm. and they don't look good, but it pays dividends at the end of the year. That's his philosophy. So you can't say that I'm not holding him to account. His philosophy is what it is. I can't go into the press conference and go, hey, you dumb blank. Your philosophy sucks. You need to change it. That's not my job. So as a fan, if you feel this way, I get it. I disagree with him on Adams. But again, that's not how this works. So I think I ask tough questions. And Michael likes the fire from me. So there you go, Michael. I'm glad that we could end on that note.
The response you got, Michael, was worth the fury we saw out of Jason Wilde. Jason, know you got to run. So any final thoughts here as we get the, you know, just a couple of hours into day one of free agency? Any thoughts on if the Packers will do anything in terms of depth or maybe a small signing, maybe a splash signing, anything you think may or may not be coming over the course of the next few hours?
Yeah, I would say this. You get Byron Murphy, and not only do you weaken the Vikings, but you strengthen your corner group. Now, I have no idea. Like, I haven't talked to Jeff Hafley. I'm still waiting for my Boston College hoodie. I don't know. Does he see Byron Murphy as a guy that would fit his system? I don't know. But I love the idea of taking a corner from a rival and their best guy and then putting him on your team. You saw him twice during the season, right? But look, even if they do nothing today, all is not lost. But I would argue that they have too many holes and not enough draft picks to fill everything that they need to fill. So if they want to go shopping in the bargain bin, you can do that, right? Again, I understand that he quit on his team in San Francisco, but Devondre Campbell was a first-team All-Pro linebacker, and they paid him $2 million. Tausch gives me grief for saying they need to do the Zach Bond thing. I'm not saying that every inexpensive signing is Zach Bond and helps you win a Super Bowl. But Keyshawn Nixon was a minimum salary guy. Rasul Douglas was plucked off a practice squad only because they were decimated with injuries. I mentioned Devondre Campbell. Like, those Barkin guys can help you win games. But if they're over 30, I presume they're not interested in them.
It's fascinating that that's the direction this team has gone, but here we are nonetheless. Jason Wilde here, him each and every weekday, 9 to noon on Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin, right here on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison on YouTube. We will do a special occasional Wilde episode on Thursday, recapping some of the transitions in free agency and all the moves that, didn't happen, at least at this point, for the Green Bay Packers. Jason, thanks as always, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care. Be good.
The great Jason Wilde. Read him as well, channel3000.com, with that great quote from a source last night. None, in terms of the contact between the Packers and Devontae Adams. All right, we welcome back in Joshy DiMaggio, full time now, as he just sat back, relaxed, and enjoyed the rant there from Jason Wilde about holding Goody accountable. Joshy, am I overreacting when I say my fear is the Packers are getting left behind, at least in terms of free agency? Because, again, I still think this is a playoff team. I still think they're a good football team. I'm not saying, oh, they suck now because they haven't been active. But they have holes, as Jason just pointed out. And none of them, at least at this point, have been addressed. And I don't know if I feel comfortable addressing edge, corner, and wide receiver all through the draft and just hoping that somebody is an unbelievable rookie that helps take this team over the top.
I think you're overreacting, most certainly. I think when it comes to NFL free agency, more often than not, the vast majority of deals that are given out end up being bad deals for the team. I think there are years where some are better than the other, but I think most of these names we heard will probably end in disappointment for the team that acquired them, especially with some of the numbers being thrown around out there. I think to the Javon Kinlaw getting all that money,
yeah.
I don't think they're going to see their $15 million back for that big deal. Signed him right away with probably better options available on the board still at that defensive tackle position. I think Packers fans, we are well within our right to be disappointed in the seeming inaction. I don't know, DJ Reed being 5'9 and 30 years old, probably not a guy we should have ever really got our hopes up on.
Well, I just liked him.
You did like him. And then Rob Demoski actually gave some wind to those sales when he said it seemed like they were in on that. For whatever reason, they determined the number he got was too big. I think you have to, within some aspect, maintain some sort of measure here, because the Packers have a long history of not being super aggressive in free agency, despite what we saw last year and the resounding success of both players that kind of made a splash. I do think you can be concerned of where are the Packers going to get better that isn't the draft?
Mm-hmm.
In what way, and how are they meaningfully going to improve? You can make a case that Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed have to improve. You can make a case that Jordan Love has to improve.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can make a case that all three of those guys will be better next year. But if you want to help them get better, you would seemingly add more weapons. You would add more options. I think there's reason to be concerned at edge that the Packers come away with a guy who's going to be like a 4.5 sack guy. He's going to be just younger Preston Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Not really going to matter. Going to get a couple of sacks. Going to do a little something that maybe gets you interested, maybe gets you, makes a big play. I think there are still options at corner that are feasible. I think
agreed.
The wide receiver is dry. I think that's, I mean, we were talking MVS seriously.
MVS and De'Ami Brown are like the two names that interest me at this point.
Which, and Mecole Hardman would fit the deep threat. There's plenty of options. They're just not that great.
No.
And they're not really difference makers.
No.
Because even the best MVS is a part-time MVS.
Yes, who still has drop issues this many years into his career. All right, real quick reset for all of you that are joining us for the first time ever. This is a show we call Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Struff. That's Joshy DiMaggio, producer Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn with us as well. We do the show three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, streaming live on YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, beginning at 12:30 Central. You can also find the show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Wisconsin On Demand. Just search Mr. Irrelevant. We'll be the first result that pops up. Subscribe. We're doing Packers Talk. We're doing all Wisconsin Sports Talk three times a week right here on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate the support. If you're just joining us for the first time on YouTube, make sure you click that subscribe button on either ESPN Milwaukee or ESPN Madison. All of our local shows live every day right here on YouTube, where you can hang out with our array of cast, our cast of array. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Our big cast that we have in ESPN Wisconsin. Yeah, there we go. The cast of characters.
I was going to let them drown.
Yeah, well, you typically do that.
I don't have your floaties on.
No, I do not today. Do not today. Just to clean up a little bit some of the moves that have happened since we've been live, the Vikings have agreed to a two-year deal with former Eagles cornerback Isaiah Rodgers. Shortly thereafter, the Detroit Lions agreeing with my free agency crush, the dream is dead. Cornerback DJ Reed is coming.
He's going to be good there.
He's coming to the NFC North. And he's going to play against Jordan Love twice a year instead of playing with Jordan Love.
Yeah, that one's going to be one we hear about for a while.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that. This one just coming from Rich Cimini of ESPN, the Jets reporter. Former Jets right tackle Morgan Moses staying in the division, signing with the New England Patriots, leaving a gaping hole at right tackle for the New York Jets. And Cimini follows up, slim pickings for left or for right tackles in free agency. Maybe they'll draft one at 7. The Chiefs have signed former 49ers running back Elijah Mitchell. The Texans hanging on to defensive end Derek Barnett. He has agreed to a one-year deal to stay in Houston, the 28-year-old who had 5 sacks in 2024. A couple other odds and ends. Carlton Davis, the former Detroit Lions corner, is headed to New England as well. And obviously they signed DJ Reed to effectively backfill the whole Carlton Davis leave. So nice move by Detroit to replace a pretty good corner with another pretty good corner. And those are pretty much the notes since we have gone live here in the last 45 minutes.
I think so. Any move that we have seen short of DJ Reed would serve as nothing really more than a pacifier for Packers fans, because we are hung up on, and we will continue to be hung up on, the reporting of basically no interest, no attempt at signing Davante Adams or entering into the DK Metcalf trade. I do think there's a little nuance in there of John Schneider and Brian Gutekunst have a relationship. The Packers were linked to them, and then we saw it refuted multiple times about that trade happening. I think what happened is we have a pretty good deal, and we've been talking to the Steelers that they feel good about a second and paying DK. Can you guys match or beat that?
Yeah.
And then the Packers said, nah. Because that deal came together pretty fast. That's a lot to give up. There is a contract being signed there. So there was, it seems like Goody did the thing we always talk about of being in the mix, but he quickly bowed out of the mix before he even added like an additional ingredient. He probably said, I would think something around 3 and Dobbs. And he said, well, I got a second and I'm going to take that. I think everything we see is going to fall short of that because we had gotten our hopes up misguidedly. It is interesting that, and Jason talked about it, is for whatever reason, Goody has determined 30 years old is basically like saying Voldemort. It is. The age that should not be spoken in Green Bay.
Right.
Now, I think I agree with it large scale. Younger players are oftentimes better, oftentimes healthier, oftentimes more available. But there are exceptions. There are plenty of exceptions. Hell, the whole quarterback position is an exception to the 30-year-old rule. But guys like Trey Hendrickson, guys like Davante Adams, they would seemingly make sense. The for what Davante Adams went for in the terms of that that's not going to ruin your team.
No, it's not.
That's not going to set you back years and years and years.
That was about what I thought he would go for. I thought it was going to be about a 2-year, $45 million deal. Yeah. It was 2-year, 46. Yeah. Right. I drew the line at 20. I thought 22.5 was probably the right number for him. 23 is what he went for. I would have paid that.
Yeah, and you can equivocate because he's not Davante's not going to get all that money.
Right.
There's likely going to be either void years added, some sort of extension if they're happy with the production he got. But Brian Gutekunst determined before even entering into a conversation of, hey, what would it cost to get you back to Green Bay? He decided we would be better without your services. Mm-hmm. And I think it is adequate for all of us to decide if we agree with that or not. I think everybody on this program wholeheartedly disagrees with the sentiment.
Yeah.
I think it's also okay to be in the early stages of a sort of grief. The Packers seem to be in a spot where a few marquee additions could set this team that was a seventh seed over the top. They could potentially, with the right additions, become the leader in the NFC North. They could bump up a few spots in the playoffs. They could make a deeper run. But right now, all we have is some draft picks.
Yeah. It's
and you're losing guys, by the way.
Yeah, you're losing a couple. Josh Myers is the guy they are letting walk. Now the center for the last several years for the Green Bay Packers will be out of town. I want to mention there has been no bigger winner of day one of free agency than the Threads app. You know, the Mark Zuckerberg Twitter-esque app. Twitter is once again down. It has crashed once again. So I do have Threads up in case anything comes through here on the desktop.
I'll never open Threads.
So some awesome reaction rolling in.
Do we think
on YouTube,
that this
ESPN
was
Madison, ESPN Milwaukee?
Do we think that this was the Zuckerberg going with a cyber attack on Elon on one of Twitter's biggest days to try and push people to Threads?
I think it was Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball sending in the attack.
Yeah.
We can't have people finding out. We can't have them spreading information.
A bunch of really good reaction coming in that I want to get to on the ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison YouTube chats. Let's start with the ESPN Milwaukee chat. Mr. Fantasy chimes in. I'm usually a Goody stan, but even I am pretty salty. If we sign MVS or Lazard, I am booing at the draft. And then BMB2210 follows up on that comment with, if we sign either of those guys, I will streak across the field week one.
Holding them to that.
Now, I'm wondering, BMB2210, is that out of excitement or spite for MVS and maybe his return?
I think he's just saying it's unlikely they end up signing those guys.
I don't think it's that unlikely.
I think the MVS needs to be something people are accepting at this point of the potential inevitability. I mean, it fits perfectly. It's the body type and the speed type that the team so desperately needs in a world without Christian Watson for much of the season.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Over on ESPN Madison's YouTube chat, loving football, our guy says, DJ Reed deleted his, quote, Detroit, quote, tweet. Stay tuned. How do you know he deleted the tweet if Twitter's down? You could be making that up. It made me laugh, though. Matty Hayes, you said what? That he deleted the tweet? He deleted the tweet. Interesting. Huh. Something to keep an eye on. As the phrasing actually was from Adam Schefter, are working to finalize a deal with Jets free agent cornerback DJ Reed. Do you think Goody has swept in at the final moment and said, hey?
If I were to guess, Brian Gutekunst is not involved at stealing somebody at the 11th hour. Because that would mean you're probably overpaying.
That's true, and I don't think that's something he would do.
No, I don't see Brian Gutekunst ever stealing away a free agent.
I don't either. I'm still really curious to see how this wide receiver debacle is handled. Because at this point, as you mentioned, there's not a lot of solid options in free agency.
I've gotten to the point, and maybe this is me acting irrationally, that I think a first-round wide receiver is in play. That's how lost I feel like that position is with the guys off the board in Devontae and DK Metcalf. That's how far I think. I mean, we need to start having a meaningful Josh Palmer conversation again.
Oh, you shut that down when I tried to bring that up. The former Los Angeles Charger.
They're running out of options.
I'm curious who the best receivers left are. I'm just going to take a gander at looking that up. Best wide receivers available. It feels like not.
I mean, it's Amari Cooper.
Stephon Diggs. This is a rough list.
Yeah. Amari Cooper.
We're DeAndre Hopkins. About. Darius Slayton.
Yes.
Yeah, Godwin's gone. I mean, you really don't have great options at receiver. You're right. Amari Cooper's probably the best name, but he's 31 years old. Stephon Diggs, 31 years old. DeAndre Hopkins, 33 years old. Darius Slayton is 28.
Westbrook Akine.
Yeah, out of Tennessee. That is a name that I've seen floated around. He had a nice season for Tennessee, but
he caught some deep passes, had a couple of games.
Was one of few players to have a good season in Tennessee because there's not a lot of them, given how bad they were last year. But your receiver market is not very good. Now, edge and corner, there's a little bit more depth there. Where if the Packers are to address that here in free agency over the course of the rest of today or later in the week.
It's getting thinner.
It is.
Chase Young, that feels like a Goody type of move.
Yeah. Josh Sweat is still out there, but he's going to be expensive.
Yeah. Chase Young, in terms of being like the highest regarded high school player, we've seen that mirrored with Rashawn Gary. And then first round pick, who at times has looked good, but his production has great. Remember when he went to San Francisco and we're all like, oh, that's unfair.
Who's this?
Chase Young.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, that's unfair. Next to Nick Bosa, it really didn't matter.
It didn't work at all.
And it feels like he hasn't mattered since then, which might be an indication of just the type of player he is in the NFL. But I was bullish on the Green Bay Packers making moves and being aggressive, be it in trade or free agency. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to have real reservations on that. I still think the Packers are a playoff team without really doing much of anything of note in free agency. But I will have the same exact questions that I had all season in 2024. And I think you can make a case that a couple really good draft picks, but that's really leaving it up to chance. The nice thing about free agency is you at least have some proof of concept in many of these guys. There is no proof of concept in a Emeka Ebuka.
No.
Matthew Golden.
I mean, right. As exciting as some of those names could be in the draft, it's not a proven commodity.
Right.
And it's
inherently more risky to build the team way Brian Gutekunst is choosing.
That's a good way to put it. Because, look, as exciting as those names might be, right? If they are to finally break the trend and for the first time since they drafted Javon Walker are to draft a wide receiver in the first round, you still lack the proven concept, the proven commodity, which feels like last year was what the Packers wide receiving core so desperately lacked, was a true bona fide stud who you know you can count on. Even if you bring in one of the best receivers in the draft, you don't know that you can rely on them in year one because there are always, always growing pains for rookie wide receivers with very few exceptions. There's plenty of non-exceptions on the Packers roster right now. Look at Christian Watson. Look at Romeo Doubs. Look at Jaden Reed. Look at Dontavian Wicks. These are all guys who have struggled in the first few seasons because they're just young and inexperienced. And that's okay. But if you are looking to be a team that now has gone to back-to-back playoffs, who has made back-to-back playoff appearances, and has been in the mix in the NFC, you want to take this thing over the top. You want to take that next step. You want to get to the next level. And to show no urgency on the wide receiver market makes me go, well, clearly they don't think it's as big of a problem as we do. Right? We were watching the same football games, but for whatever reason, the people in that room do not view it as big of an issue as I do, as Joshy does, as Hunter does, for the wide receiver market. That's the thing I'm hung up on.
I think there is wiggle room within what you're saying. This free agency class is bad.
It's not good. I'm not even making the case.
There isn't a lot of talent here. So if the scouting department has determined there isn't enough here for what we would like to pay, we should approach it a different way. I can trust that. The problem is there's too many spots where they need significant improvement to not approach free agency at all. And we are now, 2 hours into this whole thing? There's plenty of time left. There's plenty of notable guys that are still probably days away from signing if we were to actually approach it that way. But I'm starting to cast doubt on, will they be interested at all in anybody who isn't, you know, an Eric Wilson signing? A type of signing where you just kind of go, whatever. Like, maybe that guy plays, maybe he doesn't.
Maybe, right.
Like, I'm not sure the Packers are going to add a starter in free agency at this point.
But this comes down to the same problem. And look, I didn't really expect this to get addressed in the offseason. I really didn't. You know, obviously, when we hear the rumors of Trey Hendrickson and Max Crosby and Myles Garrett and Davante Adams and DK Metcalf, right, as we hear those rumors on these big-name players and bona fide superstars, oh, yeah, that'd be really nice if they were in Green Bay. But I didn't have any realistic expectation other than Devontae that they were going to land any of those guys. But what the Packers lack is superstars. It's as plain and simple as that. They really don't have one.
Right? Bereft of superstars, some would say.
Bereft of superstars, indeed. Short of superstars. Jordan Love could eventually be one. Xavier McKinney, borderline one. Josh Jacobs, borderline one. Edrin Cooper seems like he could be on the trajectory to be one. But as it stands right now, the Packers don't have bona fide superstars. And it's really tough to win a Super Bowl or even play in a Super Bowl or an NFC Championship game if you don't have superstars. Why were the Packers relevant and as good as they were for 30 years? Because at quarterback, they had a superstar.
Studs.
With Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Always had a superstar. And obviously there were other pieces on a lot of those teams that were quote-unquote superstars, right? Clay Matthews. Look at the receivers. Jordy Nelson at one point was a superstar. Reggie White, Charles Woodson. I mean, you had superstars on all of these teams. The Packers don't have that right now. And again, this is not a problem I'm saying that can be fixed right now, because when you look at the team that just won the Super Bowl in the Philadelphia Eagles, outside of Saquon Barkley and Zach Bond, they were homegrown, man. I mean, these are guys the Eagles drafted and hung on to, and obviously now are having to sign to contract extensions because some of them were still on rookie deals. They were homegrown for the most part. So that is still a recipe. And again, I think the Packers have pieces that can develop into superstars, Jordan Love being the main one. But right now there was a lack of superstardom on the Green Bay Packers, and that is what's holding them back.
I'm ready to get positive here and transition to throwing all our might behind Trey Hendrickson. We've had to retire BBD. It's time to bring in B-I-T-H.
Biff?
Biff.
You're a Biff.
Let's not start doing that.
What do you mean?
You, both of you know what I mean. We can stop that right now.
Biff. It was right there, Biff.
Yeah,
bring
you
in Trey Hendrickson.
You got one.
I'll stop, Biff. I am for the Trey Hendrickson idea, but how much does it cost? And again, and then obviously, and when I say how much does it cost, I don't even mean the trade compensation. I mean the contract extension.
I don't care.
Here's why I
Trey
do.
Hendrickson. Back-to-back 17.5 sack seasons.
Yeah, incredible. He's that good.
That's not DK Metcalf, the 12th best wide receiver. That is the most productive, more productive than TJ Watt in terms of sack production. That immediately upsets and turns your defense around and gives them a whole different approach.
Real quick, we have a big signing off the market, but I thought it was a name we already announced. Okay. Which is what I'm confused about. Milton Williams, the former Eagle.
Yeah, he was in the DJ Reed scenario where it was originally Carolina Panthers.
And now it is the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who did do the, you gotta pay, because people are leaving money on the table to not sign with the Patriots. So when deals get rumored, the Patriots say, how about 25 more million?
Yeah, how about it? Here's some more. I mean, the Patriots do have by far the most cap space in the NFL, so we would expect them to be active today. Same with the Carolina Panthers. Those are the two teams with the most money to play with. And the Patriots stealing one from the Panthers. Former Eagles defensive tackle Milton Williams landing in New England now. Like a little change up.
Any idea how much?
I do not have the number. But I will work on that if Twitter ever decides to work again. Huh. Okay, so there's another defensive tackle off the board.
But he really wasn't much of a pass rusher, if I remember. Like, he was more of a...
No, he is. He's a pass rush guy, but he's a part-time player. People are worried about his ability to become a full-time player because he was, like, well behind Jalen Carter and some of those other guys up front, but he was impressive at times.
Okay. For some reason, I thought he was just like a run-stopping block eater.
That's Jordan Davis. Yeah,
that's who I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, we've got Cowboys news for the resident Cowboys fan, Hunter Vaughn.
Good news?
I haven't seen this
a
yet.
A deal from Adam Schefter, a deal for Dallas.
Uh-oh.
Long snapper Trent Seed.
Let's go.
An agreement on a three-year deal.
Yeah, selectively aggressive, not in a drought. Super Bowl, baby. Let's go. Oh, my God, I hate this team.
The long snapper is the first deal of the day for Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys.
Milton Williams is getting $26 million per year.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I know why he's a Patriot.
I think I do, too. Yeah, that makes sense. Good for Milton Williams. Yeah, we're just trying to keep an eye here. You know, and the verbiage that continues to be used with DJ Reed is the Lions are working to finalize a deal. I think there's a potential he does not wind up in Detroit, but Jordan Schultz says it's a 3-year, $48 million deal. But I'm confused why he deleted the Detroit tweet. Is it because it's not official until Wednesday?
No. I have a feeling it's just, I mean, it's the legal tampering period. You can say whatever the hell you want. I think what that tells us is somebody else has come in to upset the market. I think it would be more foolish than our pursuit of Devontae Adams to think the Packers are the one that came in and said, stop the press. We're going to pay you more money than them.
More foolish than our pursuit of Devontae Adams. It made us look foolish, considering they didn't even reach out. But
I still maintain we're right.
I stand by that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I stand by that.
Yeah, I mean, Devontae's just going to go to L.A., have 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns. It's going to be like, yeah, well, makes sense.
Yeah. Robert, ESPN Madison on YouTube, this is a sad day in Packers history.
And you guys call me a doomsday fan. Illegal tampering period, 2.5 hours in, and it's this sad is the day. Sad day in Packers day. History. Come on,
it's a sad day.
I love the overreaction. I know people are accusing me in both the YouTube chats of overreacting, which I probably am to a point.
Yeah,
I will not
are.
Go ahead and say this is a sad day in Packers history, though. Disappointing, sure. But we'll be all right. We'll be all right. Montana Mo, the only reason the Packers have made the playoffs each of the last 2 years is because the NFL put in a seventh seed. I mean, yeah, I guess that's true. But the good news is the NFL put in a seventh seed.
Yeah, if everything was different, it wouldn't be the same.
Exactly.
That's meaningful input. I'm glad we got that into the program. Changes a lot.
The Panthers are signing, according to multiple reports, former Raiders safety Trevon Moehring to a 3-year, $51 million deal. That from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports, who had it first. I don't know if he reported that from a Starbucks or not, but the report is out there regardless from Jordan Schultz. Appreciate everybody rocking with us live. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. Good to see all of you here. You know, this is obviously always a really fun day every year. Just seeing all the chaos and everything going on across the league. Mitchell on Twitter, at Strofe, you are so dramatic. Worst free agent class in years, and you won every one of them.
I'm gonna be frank with you and the wonderful Mr. Irrelevant audience. I've been having a rough day today, and it's only because I've had to be in the same room with you for like most of the day. You've been all over the place, screaming out every rumor and announcement that's happening, saying how get left behind, we're screwed. And it's like, all right, let's take a deep breath, brother. The Super Bowl does not get won today. There's a lot to happen. I can't sell myself into fully disappointed the Packers are left in neutral while everyone else is driving forward.
You can't. I mean, the proof is in front of you, though.
The proof is not in front of me.
Strofe, this is your, like we've been saying, your Gen Z, just do something. I don't care what it is. I just want action. Like, it's okay. You're going to be okay.
Right. Do you want the Packers to be overpaying people right now?
No, but...
Like, is there a free agency deal that you've seen and gone, well, I wish the Packers would have done that one?
DJ Reed.
Yeah, but that deal's not done yet. Did we even get numbers on it?
Yeah, we did. Just give me a second to find it. I just read it before, but obviously there was a lot going on, so I am shifting between tabs quite a bit. I thought Jordan Schultz had it. He did. $3 or $48 million. So what is that per year? That's 16?
Yeah.
I would do that.
Yeah, I mean, 5'9 quarters in their 30s.
So who else is still out there? Treverius Ward at corner, which would be a nice signing.
Yes.
Byron Murphy's still out there.
Yep. Josh
Sweat is still out there. I don't think that one's likely.
I want to throw cold water on the Byron Murphy thing because I'm pretty sure he has degenerative knee issues. And I don't think the Packers are going to assign that guy to... He has a long injury history. They're focused around that knee. What we know about the Packers and lingering injuries, not fan of that.
Yeah.
So that one, while I would be excited and hope that he was able to play, his knee's in bad shape and has been, but he's able to sort of hack it together year in and year out.
The angry casual fan with an interesting point.
Oh, boy.
Which is a great name, by the way. The angry casual fan says, funny how we struggled at kicker. Until we brought in an old veteran in McManus. Young is overrated. He's not talking about Chase Young. He's talking about the age. Young is overrated. And I think that's an important point. Because we spent so much time the last 2 years highlighting that the Packers are the youngest team in the league, the youngest team in NFL history to win a playoff game, which is great. Right? I'm not arguing with that. It's been a fun ride because that first year when they went to Dallas and beat Hunter's Cowboys in the wild card round was a really fun season. There weren't a lot of expectations. It was all about figuring out whether or not Jordan Love was the guy. And you got your answer. Jordan Love's the guy, right? That's the answer you got that season. Then last year, obviously, when you win a playoff game and you're right in it with the eventual NFC champion 49ers in the divisional round, naturally, there were expectations, and there were expectations that this team would improve and hopefully get back to the same spot, if not further, in the postseason. They improved their win-loss record. They won two more games last year than they did the year prior. However, got the same seed in the playoffs, seventh seed, and did not get as far in the postseason after losing to the eventual NFC champion Eagles. This year now feels like it has to be the time where this team takes a step. And while I do believe people that are on the roster, right, your wide receiving crew, maybe Lucas Van Ness, maybe some of those corners take that next step, like Carrington Valentine is going to get a ton of opportunity. While I am encouraged by some of the youth on this team and the steps they can take forward, it just doesn't feel to me like the roster they have on paper and under contract right now is championship ready. And I think that's why Packers fans, including myself, have been a little bit disappointed in the lack of effort in free agency thus far. I think that is the case.
I'm going to make a bold claim and plant my flag.
Oh,
Young is not overrated. Young is the most important portion of any good contending NFL team.
I do agree with you on that.
I think,
but you could use some more veterans.
I think Brian Gutekunst youth over everything else is probably incorrect.
Yes,
it's probably
okay. That's
a step too far. I think acquiring good young difference makers is extremely important in how you build a team that, as we know, just because you have the best team in one singular season does not mean you're going to go on to then win the Super Bowl. The Eagles were that this year and then did win the Super Bowl, but there's been many times we've seen teams. I mean, the hell, the Ravens last year. The Lions. Like, those are all teams where we looked at them all season long and was like, damn, this is... Who's going to take the season away from those two players? And then, well, here we go.
Yeah.
So, I don't think Goody should be approaching this as where 30 years old is the drop-dead date of anybody besides a quarterback. But I do want the Packers to maintain... I want them in the bottom third in terms of roster and age pretty much every single year.
Sure.
Until Jordan Love is, you know, late 30s.
I agree. I'm good with everything you just said. Yeah.
I see people, because we bring up players' age and how that relates to Goody, you see people a lot of time that are like, I'm sick of youth. And it's like, yeah, but you're sick of the Packers just not being as good.
Yeah.
If Dontavian Wicks was a Malik Nabers talent, you wouldn't be sick of that youth. You're not sick of Edgerrin Cooper.
Right.
You're not sick of Evan Williams.
Right.
Those are all guys that you're pretty excited about. Zach Tom.
For sure.
Young, talented, very good.
Matthew chimes in, talent overrides youth, which I think we would all agree with. But
to an extent.
To an extent. Okay, I have a couple pieces of news to clean up on. I've got quarterback news, and I've got two pieces of nose tackle news. The quarterback news is not important.
Is it name the team this person last played on?
Couldn't even do it. That's how good it is. The Jaguars have agreed to terms with quarterback Nick Mullins on a 2-year deal. He is going to be the new backup to Trevor Lawrence.
Where the hell is Mac Jones going?
I don't know. Mullins goes from Minnesota. He was in Minnesota to Jacksonville. Some nose tackle news. The Chargers.
Nick Mullins looks a lot like Eric Name, by the way.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay. Eric Name of The Athletic covering the Bucks. Good friend of Joshy. Was that your crab leg thing on Friday, wasn't it?
Yes, sure was.
Good to hear. Thanks for the invite. The Rams signing nose tackle Puna Ford to a 3-year deal worth up to $30 million. Ford, formerly of the Chargers, so stays in L.A., goes to the other team. And another defensive tackle news. The Steelers are releasing defensive tackle Larry Ogunjobi. The defensive tackle hits the free agency market.
I remember him. He was the darling on bad teams. He was the Browns. Everyone was so excited about him guy.
Oh, big quarterback news coming through now. We've got big quarterback news as the Seattle Seahawks have their new quarterback. It is Sam Darnold. He heads to Seattle 3-year. $110 million contract, which includes $55 million guaranteed. The Seattle Seahawks now have the successor to Geno Smith. An important part on this news now is the first domino in the quarterback market has fallen, meaning where will Aaron Rodgers go? It's looking more and more like it's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, but do not count out the Minnesota Vikings.
I've got a prediction on Sam Darnold. It's going to be rough, and it's going to be ugly.
I mean, they traded DK Metcalf. They cut Tyler Lockett. Well, he's got JSN, who's a really good receiver.
A guy whose most viral and memorable moment was about seeing ghosts goes to a place with a very bad offensive line and not a lot of talent in terms of skill players. That's a recipe for disaster, but good for him. That's more than I expected.
I agree.
I thought those last two games that we saw from Sam Darnold were going to loom for him in free agency more than we expected, but 55 guaranteed, 110. I mean, that team is desperate. In Seattle, they've got no quarterbacks, so adding Sam Darnold, that's interesting. Then obviously the Aaron Rodgers portion. I can't imagine a worse landing spot for Aaron Rodgers than the Pittsburgh Steelers, which seems to be the conversation du jour regarding him. Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers are made in labs to despise and loathe one another. One guy loves running the ball. The other guy, all he does is check out of runs at a rate that nobody else can consider. And then you add in DK Metcalf and George Pickens, two guys who aren't known for precise route running, who aren't known for, let's say, being even-keeled and the most reliable. I mean, they are two bullies. They are good at times because they just are bigger, stronger, and faster than you. So having people that aren't going to run precise routes and that being his top two targets, to me, it just doesn't make sense. It seems like a horrific pairing. But if you're Aaron Rodgers, I understand what would make him decide this is my best chance to be relevant, because it sure ain't the Giants.
No.
Sure ain't the Titans.
No.
So, I mean, it's his best remaining option, but in terms of fit and his future, like, I mean, you're just going to get bullied by the Ravens.
Yeah.
That's going to be not fun. Hey, you got to do that twice.
By the way, the Browns still have Myles Garrett, who signed an extension yesterday.
And, I mean, the one thing you can say nice about the Cleveland Browns is their defense. So,
yes.
Good luck to them. If I were them, I'd prefer Justin Fields. But I've seen him associated to the Jets, which is like, they're probably going to pay him, and that's why he would go there.
Justin Fields at the Jets would actually be kind of a fun pairing. Well, the Jets are so bad.
I just hope he gets as much guaranteed, because I don't know post-Jets what the interest level is going to be for someone like Justin Fields.
Let's check in with Hunter. Go ahead, Hunter.
If Justin Fields did go to the Jets, they could absolutely run the triple option. You have Braylon Allen running the dive, and then you got the pitch to Breece Hall. I'm telling you, the Bills wouldn't know what hit them after the first drive. But
I think they would know what hit them.
Run the Georgia Tech offense back when they had Calvin Johnson. Run, throw it deep.
Throw it high.
Still one of the greatest things in the world that they had Calvin Johnson and Demaryius Thomas running the triple option.
Is that the biggest? Is that the biggest signing so far, Sam Darnold? Let's say that's the
in terms of overall contract value.
Yeah,
I think so. Right,
like most money other than Myles Garrett.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, 26 per year for Milton Williams is probably somewhere close. I don't know the term, like how long that deal is.
Well, this is about what I suck at math, so I apologize to do this out loud. This is a little bit over $35 million a year for 110.5.
The math is. 100 divided by 3 is 33. Add a couple extra on,
like 36.5 per year, something like that.
It's insignificant, the exact number.
I love having you here. It's Mr. Relevant Special Free Agency Edition with you for just over about 15 more minutes, leading you into Kyle Bruston-Nortman from 2 to 5 on ESPN Milwaukee, 2 to 4 ESPN Madison. Then Jim, Matt, and Molly will take over from 4 to 6 on ESPN Madison. Homer Hour will be with you from 5 to 6 on ESPN Milwaukee with Brian Bulaga, who's pulling double duty today. I am...
Also of note, Gino wanted around 40 to 45... And the Seahawks got younger and some would argue better and cheaper at
probably marginally. There's probably not a huge difference in terms of.
No, but I would say it's negligible enough, their difference in ability, that the Seahawks said, yeah, what we've been doing for a while here, and it's been pretty successful, we're just going to punt on it.
What are the options for Rodgers? Vikings?
I think the Vikings.
Giants.
I think the Vikings
Steelers?
Are dead.
Why? You think they're just going to roll with J.J. McCarthy?
I think J.J. McCarthy is going to start, is going to play, and that is their. That's just the what it's going to be. They're going to have a backup, but not one that is going to rival him. And I don't think they think Aaron Rodgers and another year of sitting would be any good for him, because if I were to guess, they believe, unlike the Packers did, that the rookie contract is rather important. And if you want to reach your peaks, you need to have your quarterback playing on one of those to then build as good of a team around him. So I think that one's sailed. I think Titans are possible, Giants are possible, Steelers are possible.
Mm-hmm.
The
Vikings are going to draft Graham Mertz in the 7th round, and he's going to take over the starting job. Graham Mertz is good.
An ACL to heal up from.
Oh, Christ.
He's the GOAT.
Graham Mertz.
The Kansas Cannon, the former Wisconsin quarterback, former Florida quarterback, of course, who Hunter is referencing there. Yeah, I don't think so. Any more news? Twitter just keeps breaking, man. It says Rappaport tweeted something. I'm trying to see what it is. Okay, it's the full terms on Sam Darnold. 3 years, $100.5 million. So that's actually less than they initially reported. I saw $110.5 million. It's $100.5 million with $55 million guaranteed and $37.5 million this year. So paying a little bit more in year one are the Seahawks to their new quarterback, Sam Darnold. Wow. The league is looking different, man. I mean, when you think of this free agency class, it really wasn't, in terms of players that were actual free agents, not the sexiest class in the world. When you look at players that have been released, that's when we get spicy, right? I mean, you look at DK, who was traded, obviously, but Davante Adams and now Deebo Samuel, who was also traded, some of the trade targets. Geno Smith was traded to the Raiders over the week. I mean, it has been kind of a wacky start to this free agency, and I'm excited to see exactly if the Packers do anything, right? They'll do something. Roberto chimes in. He has been Milwaukee on YouTube. Maybe Goody will try to bring back Jamon Moore. He's a deep threat.
Dog.
He's more of a slot guy.
What's he up to these days? I bet he's not playing football.
Okay. I believe he was out of the league in 3 years.
I believe you were correct. Let's double check, though. He played for the New Jersey Generals of the USFL in 2023.
How'd that go for him?
Well, he was a teammate of Chris Orr, that means. Because that was the last team Chris Orr played for. Now, I forget his exact role, but working with the Kansas City Chiefs defense is the former Badger, so former show, Chris Orr. Quality control. You got it. Oh. You got it.
Knowing stuff, ball knowing.
Ball knower indeed. Ball knower indeed. We've talked about the idea of the Packers getting left behind. Joshy says it's an overreaction.
That's what today is. Today is built upon my team added XYZ, therefore we are going to be Super Bowl contenders. And then there is team people like us who more often than not are on this end of it.
Yep.
And more often than not, it has worked to our benefit to not be in on it, to not be in on free agency, to not be in on this first wave of action happening. Mm-hmm. I think there are glaring holes and there's reason to be concerned and pessimistic about the Packers really adding anybody. But if we're looking at it objectively, there really wasn't many options in terms of superstars that were even available. The two set sail yesterday. We saw that all happen very quickly. It felt like in rapid succession. Short of that, I think in our heart of hearts, you're going to be disappointed today regardless. Because even if you sign a DJ Reed or you steal him away from the Lions because you say, I can't have DJ Reed, all 5'9", 30 years old of him, going to the Lions.
Be nice to DJ Reed.
I think there would still be a general sense of disappointment. Of just because we're not doing, therefore we're getting worse.
But there is a reunion happening in the NFL we didn't mention. Real quick, Hunter, before we get your response on this. Coleman Shelton, who was the Bears starting center last year, obviously he was replaced today by Drew Dahlman of the Atlanta Falcons. The top center on the market goes to Chicago. Coleman Shelton is going to return to the Los Angeles Rams where he spent the first 5 years of his career. Hunter, go ahead.
You know, you mentioned like the fans maybe overreacting here to the inactivity, but like when you see then, if you're a Packers fan, a team like my Dallas Cowboys, who over like the last 10 years have been also very inactive on these first couple of days of free agency, is there any part of you that's like, well, you know, the Cowboys are inactive and they're even worse than what the Packers have been? Like, I think that's a real spot when you see other teams in your division actually doing something and putting in the effort. Like, there's a level of like, I would rather lose knowing that the team is trying than feel like the team isn't trying to fix holes through every possible avenue.
I would give that credence if it wasn't Jerry Jones.
I know. I just use them as an example. There's other teams.
Make a joke. The Packers for a long time have been this way and have been successful building this way. Now you can argue they should have more Super Bowls with the two stints of Rodgers and Brett Favre. I think the reason you see most of the team spending today, and I mean, there's been some contenders out there who've added players, but most of them are teams that suck. Because they have all that cap space, because they hemorrhaged players, they've had to. So there is a level of, yeah, I mean, the Detroit Lions have gotten better, but they've gotten better largely in part to the draft. It really hasn't been free agent signings. They've marginally got better. There's been players who've made a difference, but Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, yeah. Aiden Hutchinson, Jack Campbell, Kirby Joseph, a lot of those guys are drafted.
Yeah, homegrown, right? It goes back to what we talked about with the Eagles, to your point. So, we will see. Maurice Jones-Drew reporting this
one. MJD?
Yeah, it's a Jags signing. Safety Eric Murray, 3 years, $22.5 million, with $12 million guaranteed. The former Texans safety heads to Jacksonville. Another defensive backfield signing for the Jags. That's their second of the day. So, there you go. MJD making that and making the news on that one.
Darius Slay to the Steelers?
No. Did not see that.
I mean, that team is going to be ancient if Aaron Rodgers was there.
Now, I believe you have to miss. Well, it sounds like they might not even do Hard Knocks this year. But you have to miss the playoffs 2 years in a row, don't you?
Yes.
So the Steelers would not be eligible for Hard Knocks?
Correct.
Oh, they'd be so good for it, though. With DK Metcalf, George Pickens, Aaron Rodgers, potentially. And now Darius Slay.
GM Aaron Rodgers is not going to let that happen a second offseason. Like, no matter where he ends up.
Didn't go so great for him the last time he was on Hard Knocks. The Hard Knocks curse. Kind of like the Madden curse. Huh.
I don't think what you said is accurate either. I believe
about what?
So the off season Hard Knocks, which we saw last year from the Giants, which was a massive embarrassment to the organization.
Correct.
I think that's over because everyone looked at it and said, we can't have cameras in on these conversations this way. We can't have Joe Shane and his son telling him draft Jaden Daniels, or the one guy in the room saying, we can't let Saquon Barkley go. And then they're like, yeah, but, and they like give all these cockamamie reasons on why Saquon Barkley shouldn't be a member of the Giants. I think everyone watched it and quickly decided in NFL circles, this isn't going to happen. So that's why it was connected to Bill Belichick and UNC, but that deal didn't come to. There's still going to be Hard Knocks. It's just not going to be. We got 1 year, and it was 1 year of greatness of the offseason.
The Jets?
The Giants.
Oh.
Like the offseason, the one where there's no training camp, there's nothing. Yeah. Because Hard Knocks picks up at training camp.
Right.
Like the one we're used to. The other one was all the in-between.
And that was the Giants, which was just a bleep show.
An utter embarrassment.
It was a bleep show, yeah. I mean, it was bad. We are caught up in terms of all the signings in the league. The big one today, Sam Darnold heads to the Seattle Seahawks, $100.5 million deal, which includes $55 million guaranteed. So Sam Darnold out of the NFC North. The big signings in the NFC North, the Detroit Lions seemingly signing cornerback DJ Reed. That one's a little tricky because he initially tweeted just the word Detroit with a lot of exclamation points, and now he deleted that. So I'm not really sure what to make of that. The Vikings have signed cornerback Isaiah Rodgers,
who I believe is quite diminutive in size himself, along with DJ Reed.
And then,
what's with you taking shots at guys' size and their height?
It's important in the NFL.
It is. I mean, I would agree with that.
Yeah, but there's been short kings who have been able to make it work.
I'm 5'10". I'm by no means a tall king.
Okay. Here's a new piece of news from Aaron Wilson. The Buccaneers and running back Samaje Perine have agreed on a 3-year, $22 million deal.
Whoa!
That's out of left field.
Did they not watch him with the Chiefs?
Did they got the right guy?
Is there a different Samaje out there? Talk.
Center Drew Dolman agreed to a 3-year deal with the Bears. So the Bears completely reinventing their interior offensive line, trading for two guards last week and signing Drew Dolman today. So that
I do got to say, I'm excited for the conversations that are going to be foisted upon Caleb Williams because they can't blame his offensive line anymore.
Well, how about the guy that played before Caleb Williams? We have a landing spot for Justin Fields. Point of that. Justin Fields has agreed to a 2-year, $40 million deal with the New York Jets. $30 million of that $40 million is fully guaranteed for Justin Fields.
Triple option, here we come.
Looks like he will be the new starter in New York.
See, and I had a level of, I've probably hung on to the Justin Fields is probably better than we give him credit for and the circumstances he's been in. But let me tell you, Aaron Glenn and the Jets probably isn't where he's going to reach his pinnacle. No.
A defensive head coach.
Good for him, though. That's a lot of guaranteed money.
Who's the offensive coordinator of the Jets now?
I do not know.
Tanner Engstrand. He was hired after working as an assistant for the Lions, is the offensive coordinator.
Makes sense. Just brought him over.
Okay. So maybe it won't be completely awful.
It does make Aaron more and more likely. I mean, they're down to like Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers as options.
The Steelers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones.
But the Minnesota Vikings need to make a decision as well. Let's keep that in mind. Where would you rather see Rodgers?
retired.
Either one of those options. I'm not letting retired be an option. Either one of those options, he would play the Packers this year.
I would rather him play and start for the Vikings because that would mean the Vikings don't matter.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Would like to see him ruin them from the inside. Yes. After owning them for years from the outside, he would then...
destroy them from... I don't think Aaron Rodgers has anything left to offer in terms of meaningful winning in the NFL. So if it comes in division, then praise be.
Praise be indeed.
If Aaron Rodgers ends up with the Vikings, it's 100% proof time is a flat circle, right? Like having Favre go Jets, Vikings, and then Rodgers do the same thing. Like we know what Jordan Love's career will look like then.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
I mean, the whole I don't want to be like Brett Favre and then doing exactly as his career did is so preposterous. Mm-hmm. If that were a, like, at some point, Aaron has to look at himself and be like, I can't do this, man. I can't. That's where Brett went. And then if you weren't to at least reach an NFC championship with that same team, I mean, you're lesser than him? You can't even be as good as him?
Think about Aaron's ego, though. He's telling himself, if he goes to the Vikings, yes, this is the same thing as Brett, but I'm better than him. I can beat him. I can do what he couldn't do. That's exactly what he's going to be telling himself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that, but we will see. The only news for the Packers today is Rob Domofsky reporting for ESPN that Jair will stay put for now, which do with that what you will. I mean, I imagine it still means at some point they are going to release him, but they're in no rush to do that as they wait. Maybe somebody will trade the 7th round pick for him.
This was underwhelming in terms of free agency.
This program was?
No, this day.
Well, the day's just getting started. We're only 3 hours in.
There wasn't a lot of it. None of these players that moved, I feel like, are going to make massive differences on their new teams. Aside from
the quarterbacks, yeah,
but that's
Justin Fields too.
That's just the nature of the position.
I mean, when,
because they are so important.
I mean, I know Josh Sweat hasn't gone anywhere yet, but like he's the type of guy that could put a defense over the top.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. There probably are guys out there still that I think could be difference makers. It's just everything you've seen is like Milton Williams. If he went to a contender, I'd be like, huh. But the Patriots
are trying to buy their way.
Right. He went to a wasteland, so I'm like, eh, whatever. DJ Reed possibly being a Lion is at least, as I mean, like, in terms of non-quarterback, probably the most impactful thing.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably one of the best free agents out there, and he's the best to go, other than probably Milton Williams. So that is an interesting signing. Yeah, there's still some big names out there, and there's still like some of those fun names in terms of receivers out there that the Packers won't be interested in at all.
I've
like
pivoted to Beth.
Like the DeAndre Hopkins, the Stephon Diggs, Amari Cooper.
He fell over his own feet in the Super Bowl. You can't have that guy on your team. Stephon Diggs, is he going to be ready for the season?
What did he hurt again?
Wasn't it an ACL?
It might have been. I don't know.
I'll look it up.
Colts are signing former Viking safety Cameron Bynum to a 4-year, $60 million deal.
I don't got a lot on Bynum, nor the Colts.
I don't either. I don't either. But interesting signing nonetheless.
I'll be interested to see where Amari Cooper goes. I'll be interested to see DJ Reed, Charvarius Ward. Who was the what was the name that Jason threw out there? Slip the cornerback that was Adebo. Where did he go?
He went to the Giants.
See, like it's wastelands. These guys are going to wastelands.
Yeah, they are. All the bad teams are spending money today. I mean, there's been a few deals where you go, okay.
Yeah, the commies and what's his name? Kinlaw.
Yeah. The Bucs bringing back Chris Godwin was interesting to me. Although he didn't go anywhere, he stayed put.
But I think it's much more interesting if he goes somewhere else. And there are reports out there that he turned down upwards of $20 million to not go elsewhere, which I have a feeling would be to the Patriots.
Yeah.
So if $20 million can't entice you out of a place, then you're kind of always going back there.
That's how good of a teammate Baker is, and he just needed his guy. There is that possibility.
It's fair. Baker's that good. Baker's that good.
It's Bith. I'm Bithed out.
It's Bith. You get out of here, Bith.
I'm Bithing the whole way. That's it. That's all I got left.
That stands, of course, for bring in Trey Hendrickson.
Bith or die.
Well, that will do it for us today. We are back with you Wednesday, beginning at our normal time, which is 12:30 Central, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. If this is your first time joining us, a reminder, you can subscribe on YouTube. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts as well. Just search Mr. Irrelevant, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. It'll be the first result that pops up. Make sure you subscribe. You get me and Joshy three times a week. Hunter, too. He's around usually. And, you know, we do this on YouTube Live. We post the podcast. Most days, not like today, where information is changing this fast. So the live stream was the way to go today, and looks like over 1,000 total of you joined us today. So appreciate you hanging out with us on the ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. Joseph S. chimes in, can only imagine how boring KBN will be after this uneventful free agency.
Yeah, come on.
I'm going to do my best not to make it boring, but we'll see if I'm successful. It's been a long day for me. Started on Jen Gabe and Chewy at 7 o'clock. Rolling on Mr. Relevant for the last hour and a half.
Thank you for your service.
Good stuff. Thank you for saying that. Hold on a minute. Ian Rappaport just tweeting a splash for the Bears. What does that mean? The Bears are signing former Colts defensive end Dio Odeyingbo.
Nailed it.
It's a guy. It's Dio Odeng Bingo. No, Odeyingbo.
Let's try one more time.
Dio Odeyingbo. He is a 6'6", 286-pound defensive end who played for Indianapolis. I think he's only 25 or 26 years old. That was a name the Packers were rumored to be interested in.
Odeyingbo, by the way.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Bingo.
Bingo.
Now, in my defense, the last five letters of his last name are bingo. They're just in different order.
Then it's not bingo.
Odeyingbo. I can see how, as somebody who has a tendency to flip and, you know, has a little bit of that going on, I see the bingo in there. I would have probably looked for the phonetic spelling before finding myself saying bingo.
Well, I was attempting to sign off the program, and then I saw the letters for bingo, so I got excited.
What is it?
Oday. I don't have it in front of me anymore. Dayo.
It's Dio.
Dio O. Dio O Dingo.
Dio Odeyingbo.
Odeyingbo. Dio Odeyingbo goes to the Bears. The Bears make another move as we wrap up Mr. Irrelevant. We're back with you Wednesday. You could listen on the podcast feed this time because none of this will be old news when we talk on Wednesday. What a show it's been. Dio Odeyingbo goes to the Bears.
It's going to be chasing down Jordan Love.
All right, I will talk to you 2 to 5 at Kyle Breston over. We will talk to you Wednesday. Also, subscribe to the Mr. Irrelevant feed. We will have a quickie tomorrow. Tuesday quickie edition of Mr. Relevant, only in the podcast feed, podcast exclusive. So make sure you subscribe and keep an eye out for that. All right, we will talk to you Wednesday. Peace.